Lesson 33, Moses, Israel on the way, the Red Sea, part 4. As the people leave Egypt to travel through the wilderness to the promised land, Canaan, Moses instructs them in Exodus 13, verse 13 through 16. All the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, "What is this?" that you shall tell them, "By strength of the hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And it happened when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. I have often noticed that the firstborn in a family has a special place and feels in a very special way responsible for the entire family. I see it in my older brother since my father died. He inherited my father's business. That could not be split up between the children. He has also always been the one keeping a watchful eye on his mother and all his younger siblings. I see it also in my oldest son. Without ever having been told anything like this, he just always keeps a caring eye on everyone in the family, including me. Is this something that God instills in the oldest son? Does the oldest living son not also have a special place in the family in other ways, like being the main heir to a father's business? Questions to discuss. Please try to let everyone share in these discussions, okay? Is a firstborn son not the pride of his earthly father and mother, and the first one in line to inherit from his father? Can it be that God struck all the firstborn males of Egypt because of the special place the firstborn son holds in a family? Do you see that God wanted Israel to know that the firstborn man in a family has a special place of responsibility before God, and that he only lives because of God's mercy and grace? Is this not a place God assigns only to a man as the one he puts in charge of managing his earth for him? The firstborn child of a monarch today usually becomes heir of the throne in Western societies, even if it is a woman. Have the males in Western cultures then walked away from their God-given responsibilities by letting their helpers do the managing for them in family and society? Is this not ignoring God, or is this unbelief? What or who causes man today increasingly to be spiritually castrated? Could this be part of a satanic design to destroy all of human life? Is Satan also attempting to destroy the African family, as Europe and America demand of African nations that they let women rule in order to get financial aid, Should African nations maybe tell them to keep their money and their distorted ways of living? We now continue with the story of Israel traveling through the wilderness and the deserts to the land God had given to Abraham for his descendants to inherit. Exodus 13, verse 17 through chapter 14, verse 4. When Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, although that was near. God said, the people might change their mind when they see war and they go back to Egypt. Therefore, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath. God will surely visit you and keep his promise to bring you out of Egypt to Canaan, and you shall carry up my bones from there with you. They took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day and night. The Lord did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before his people. Now the Lord said to Moses, tell the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. Because Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are confused by the land, they have lost their way, and the wilderness has locked them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will chase after them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army so that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Can you imagine? There was a short way to Canaan, but the Lord made them go around a very long way. Moses believed that God was leading them to the mountain of the Lord in Midian, where Moses had been a shepherd for 40 years and where God had appeared to him in the burning bush. This is a very different place and mountain from what Christians have believed since early times. Jews have always called the sea that lies in the extension of the Jordan River the Red Sea. It's also called the Gulf of Aqaba. It's called that way, Red Sea, because when heavy rains come on rare occasions, they wash great amounts of red soil into that sea, coloring it red. It's the same kind of soil we find in so many places here in Africa. Moses must have thought that God would lead them around the northern tip of this sea, as that was a regular travel route. But now the Lord told Moses to go in between the mountains southward, before they were past the Red Sea. God knew that they would become trapped and would never be able to reach Midian that way, because the Red Sea is extremely deep. But Moses trusted God. Questions to discuss. Would we not have chosen to go the short way to Canaan via the road to Philistia? But is it not best to always let God lead us, because our Lord always knows best? This God also now had a plan, a special plan that even Moses did not quite understand yet. God truly leads his people during day and night so that they cannot get lost. Do you notice that our God is very caring for his people? Does our God also care for us in the same gentle manner, whether we see it or not? In Europe and America, women now rule and teach men. A man can now marry another man, and wives don't need to let their husbands lead them anymore, etc., etc. Why can smart Europeans and Americans not trust God anymore to know better how to live than they think? Would we have been willing to follow God when he led Israel in an obviously wrong direction? With again so much farther traveling, and that by foot with little children and flock? We now read further in Exodus 14, verse 5. Now Pharaoh was told that the people of Israel had fled and were not coming back. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we let Israel go from serving us?" And he made his chariots ready and took his people with him. He also took 600 of his best chariots and all other chariots of Egypt's, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he went after the children of Israel. But they went on boldly. So the Egyptians chased after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh came close, the children of Israel saw the Egyptians coming, drawing up after them, and they were very afraid. Then the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Were there no graves in Egypt, that you have taken us away to die here in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone, so that we may serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Questions to discuss. Is it not amazing how rude the people talked to Moses and God when they saw the Egyptian army approaching? And how the Israelites still did not trust God after he had shown them all his power and his love and care for them? Are we today, however, any different? We now continue with the scripture reading. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, but watch carefully and see the salvation the Lord will accomplish for you today. Because the Egyptians whom you see now, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You don't have to do anything." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they shall follow them. And so I will gain honor over Pharaoh, and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them and came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. So it was a cloud and darkness to the one, but gave light by night to the other, so that the Egyptians did not come near the children of Israel all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let's flee from the face of Israel, because the Lord God is fighting for them against us." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses did stretch out his hand over the sea, and when morning came, the sea returned to its full depth, with the Egyptians fleeing while still in it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. As the waters returned, they covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after Israel. Not so much as one of them survived. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land through the sea, and the waters were walls to them on their right and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great works the Lord had done in Egypt. And the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Does Israel now really believe God, as it says here? Yes, Israel had seen an awesome act by our living God, and feared him. I too would be almost afraid if I would see this powerful, almighty, living God's work of salvation. But then, he also created the entire universe by just speaking the word, "Let there be light," and poof, it was so. Yes, he is an awesome God to be fearfully considered, and yet he is such a loving spirit who created us so that he, as a father, may have children who respond to his love and who want to honor, serve, and obey him to make him happy. He deserves that. It is indeed good to fear God besides loving him, because if we know ourselves, we can see, just like in this history of Israel, that we forget so quickly how fabulous and trustworthy our loving Father is toward us. The place where Israel crossed the Red Sea is now known. It is a spot in a sea that is more than a kilometer deep. But in this location, a lot of sand and mud has run into the sea during heavy rainfall, and it is only 200 meters deep in that place. Can you imagine? God just pulling the waters back 200 meters? Divers have even found there signs of the leftovers of the Egyptian chariot wheels and some gold leaf from the side of a chariot wheel. We now read of the joy of Israel after they have seen God's salvation. They must have been dancing there in the desert in extreme excitement. Here is Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has also become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depth have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy to pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, and it consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depth congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. But God says, my desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your hand, and the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led out the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy dwelling place. The peoples will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass over. O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. Many years ago, we used to sing this song also in a care fellowship group in my church, and I'd like to sing it for you. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam answered them, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Questions to discuss. What a happy moment this was for Israel. They had to shout it out when God blessed them so amazingly. Would we do that too? Yes, it is easy to be excited about God when something this big happens. But will this moment of joy and happiness last? Has God given you some wonderful blessings that you can share with the others? And do you yet also have trouble trusting him all the way? Can you tell the others of something special God did for you to encourage your brothers? And did it build some trust for God in your heart? Learn to share often what God is doing for you. It will build faith among us. Do you agree? Did Jesus instruct his disciples to teach people theology or to be his witnesses? And doesn't a witness tell others what God has done for him? End of this lesson.